Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, let's move on now to an interesting story in Washington. In the recent Senate special election, we heard a lot from the candidates about bridging the divide, crossing the aisle, being bipartisan. Well, cynics may have scoffed at the rhetoric, but perhaps they were right to do so, because the partisan dysfunction in Washington may run so deep, it's even undermining a group that was once considered a bipartisan watchdog of political excess. That would be the Federal Election Commission. The Boston Globe reports on the FEC as part of its ongoing series, Broken City: Politics and the Age of Paralysis. Globe reporter Christopher Rowland joins us now from Washington. Christopher, welcome to the show.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
So your piece is the latest in this Globe series, and it's headlined Deadlock by Design Hobbles Election Agency. It was a compelling read, I have to say. And you open it up with an example from the last presidential election and the Romney campaign, and something in particular the FEC did not do. Tell us what happened.
Well, in the last Romney campaign, this is from the 2008 campaign, a wealthy contributor and friend of Mitt Romney's chartered a jet, an entire jetliner, and flew up to 200 people from Utah to Boston to participate in a phone-a-thon. Most critics and most outside observers said this looked like a slam-dunk case for the Federal Election Commission. It looked like this was a illegal in-kind contribution. You're not allowed to provide these types of services on that scale, cost them around $150,000, when the limit for an in-kind contribution like that would be about $2,600. But when it came up before the FEC, the Republicans on the panel departed from the recommendation of the investigators on the FEC staff and said, you know what, we don't see this as an issue. We don't see this as an illegal in-kind contribution. We see this as just volunteers being flown to Boston by a kindly friend of Romney's, and we don't think this should be criminalized activity. Mm. People were surprised by that. I mean, this is sort of a new tack for the FEC to enforce to have such lax approach to enforcement of an in-kind contribution.
Right.
So the commission deadlocked 3-3 on this particular issue, three Republicans voting against any enforcement, three Democrats on the panel voting for the enforcement, and so therefore it was deadlocked and the matter died. And
right.
That really established a pattern in subsequent years, over the next several years.
Well, and it's exactly that kind of deadlock that, as you're saying, we're seeing more of. But take us back here for a second, because the FEC was created back in the 70s to stop exactly this kind of questionable campaign practice, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was a direct reaction to the Watergate scandals in Richard Nixon's White House. And CREEP, as you may recall, was the Committee to Reelect the President, had orchestrated numerous, very large six-figure contributions from a variety of corporate interests and various wealthy people in direct exchange for a variety of favors from government. And it was part of the major Watergate scandals of the early 70s. In 1975, Congress created the Federal Election Commission to be a central clearinghouse, central watchdog for enforcement matters. Before, it had been up to congressional committees that had done a pretty
right.
poor job of it.
Well, Christopher, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm curious because this is exactly a point that you make in the piece that I wanted to ask you about, and that is when Congress created the FEC, sort of the commission's ending up as partisan may have almost happened by design, because commissioners are recommended by the Senate, the party that's in power in the Senate, and then nominated by the president. So ultimately, that could potentially guarantee partisanship. But in your reporting, you seem to indicate that we haven't seen as deep a partisan divide, in decades past as we're seeing now. So what's changed?
Well, what's changed is that the Republican Party, and especially Mitch McConnell, the Senate Minority Leader, who now is in charge of recommending the Republican members to the FEC, right? It's three Democrats, three Republicans by design, and it can be deadlocked. Mitch McConnell is a very staunch opponent of campaign finance regulations, and particularly restrictions on spending by corporations and soft money and super PACs and coordination between, you know, there's a lot of proposed rules about coordination between super PACs and candidates. And so in 2008, he was able to, there happened to be three Republican openings at once, and Mitch McConnell was able to get three people that on there that now vote in lockstep. And that really has is what's new. When I spoke with people at the Federal Election Commission, in the past, it had been more of a collegial, compromising kind of situation where, yeah, there were certainly different, there were frictions, and it's, you know, its rulings had been criticized in the past, but nothing like now, where the Republicans are dead set against most aggressive enforcement. They're dead set against creating new rules to police the new environment of unlimited campaign spending unleashed by, for example, the Supreme Court's Citizens United ruling.
Right. So in your reporting, you've got a lot of detailed conversation with individual commissioners who are at the center of this story. And listeners will have a link to Christopher Rowland's piece at our website, radioboston.org. I strongly encourage you to go read it because the individual characters on the commission are compelling and fascinating people. But Christopher, my last question for you is that you know, you mentioned Citizens United and the decision by the Supreme Court that really unleashed a flood of money into the election system in the United States. But also in your piece, you seem to say that Congress is implicated in the breakdown of the FEC, and so is the White House, because President Obama has really been dithering in nominations for new commissioners that he could put on the FEC. So they're all implicated here in the breakdown of a really important government watchdog. So is this a cautionary tale regarding the depth of dysfunction in Washington, or is the problem unique to a group like the FEC, whose purview is so strictly defined?
Well, it's particularly sensitive at the FEC because of it really is the primary entity that's in charge of monitoring spending in our elections. I mean, it doesn't get more fundamental than that when you start talking about what's going on in our democracy with all this, you know, now that corporations are allowed to spend, and what does that mean? There was $300 million of undisclosed spending in the 2012 election cycle directly to influence the outcome of elections. It's by corporations and by nonprofits, and no one really knows who was paying for all that. So that's what's especially sensitive about it. President Obama made a pledge in 2007 when he was running that he was going to try to ensure that the FEC had good commissioners who were committed to enforcing, and it actually has turned out not to be the case. All the current commissioners right now are all serving on expired terms, and President Obama has not moved to nominate replacements. So this has drawn a number of protests from advocates who think that he's not doing enough. And, you know, the cynical point of view is that Democrats are creating super PACs. They're creating 501c4s and all these other entities, just as the Republicans are, to take advantage of loopholes in the law. Mm. So, you know, there's a school of thought that says the Democratic Party, just as much as Republicans, would like to keep those loopholes open.
Well, Christopher Rowland is a reporter for the Boston Globe. His article, "Deadlock by Design Hobbles Election Agency," is the latest in the Globe's series called "Broken City: Politics in the Age of Paralysis." Christopher, thank you so much for your reporting, and thanks for joining us today.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
Well, listeners, let us know what you think about paralysis in Washington and what you heard today about the breakdown of the FEC. Send us your comment at radioboston.org. But for now, stick with us because we'll talk about metadata and how you may be able to put it for use to use for you. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.